The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to feed his fields into his fields to feed his pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. I am going to sit here in front of you. Good morning. Have any of you read this book, Where the Wild Things Are? Have you read it, Clara? Clara, right? Yes. Good. Okay, this story is about a young boy named, do you remember his name? His name is Max. and Max is sent to his room. You like Max? Yeah, Max. Max is sent to his room. And in his room, he decides that he is going to run away from his mother. He's going to run away from his mother. And so he decides and he escapes to where the wild things are. To where the wild things are. We don't have time to read it, I'm sorry. But when you get home, your mommy will probably read it to you. Right, Mom? So after a while, Calvin, after a while, he begins to miss his mother. And so he sets sail and returns to the one who loves him best of all. Right? Isn't that how the story goes? Yeah. And Jesus tells a similar story about a son who runs away from his father. And also finds his own kinds of wild living, just like Max. And he too eventually misses his father and returns, and hopefully he returns to his father, but instead his father runs up to him with overwhelming love and forgiveness for him. And like the story of Max, who misbehaved and ran away, Jesus didn't tell stories because he thought that people need, our children or all of us, needed to be perfect. He knew that we would make mistakes, but he wanted us to know that we were always loved, always welcomed, and always forgiven. We make mistakes as well, don't we? All of us here make mistakes. But like Max, who misbehaved and was welcomed back and loved, and like the son in the story that Jesus told, we are always welcomed, we are always loved, and we are always forgiven, always. Not only by your parents, but always by God and Jesus as well. Always loved, always forgiven. So let's pray and thank God that we are always loved and always forgiven, okay? Let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Good and gracious God, it is such a privilege for us to pass on our faith to these young children. We pray that they will always know how loved they are, not only from their parents and all who love him, but also God as well loves them, and that they are always forgiven for any mistakes that they make. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming up here. Calvin was wanting to be where the wild things are. He'll like that book when he gets older. So there's different titles for this story, this parable about the prodigal son. The typical one is the parable of the prodigal and his brother. It can be called the parable of the lost son. It can be merely called two sons. One colleague called it the lament of the responsible child. I love that, being the oldest in our family of four. Another colleague calls it, and this is better yet, I think, the parable of the really ticked off brother. For those of us who are the oldest in our families, siblings, we understand that. We're used to focusing on the younger brother, but today I also want to focus on the elder brother the other half of the story, the exchange between the landowner and the elder son. Because this parable, I think, sheds light on two very different reactions to grace. One is that when you're totally down and out, is to receive grace with surprise and with delight. And that's typically the way we think of it. But the other way, the other reaction to grace, can be when you're working very hard, when you're trying your best, and can be rather resentful. As it seems, it makes all your efforts overlooked and perhaps even worthless. Another way for us to think about grace. These two responses reflect two dimensions of ourselves, I think. One dimension is that of the elder son. Reflects our life in the world and our need to keep track of things, right? We're good at that. I'm good at that. To count. To make sure things add up. To measure and to compare. And all this counting isn't for its own sake, but for a larger goal, and that is fairness. We track things, not because we need to, but to keep things fair, to make things sure things are running right, and out of the concern for equity. And yet, as important as this counting is, sometimes it just doesn't work. Especially in relationships. Imagine counting every good thing someone did and using that to judge how much they love you. Or imagine keeping track of every unhelpful and hurtful thing people in your life do to you, and then demanding payment. Or worse yet, demanding payment from me or us or you for the mistakes you've made. You see, it just doesn't work. So the landowner in Jesus' parable does something that landowners never do. Never do. He runs. He runs to meet his wayward son. The very second he spots him coming over the hill, his father is running to him. He doesn't send a servant. He doesn't wait for his son to come to him. He runs down the road like no respectable landowner would ever do, making a complete fool of himself. Why in the world? Why in the world would he be so eager to see a son who's claimed his inheritance early, almost as kind of like he couldn't wait for his dad to be dead? So he asked for it early and then wasted it all. And not only that, he doesn't even give his son a chance to explain or to repent, but interrupts his sincere, or maybe not so sincere, it doesn't matter, speech, embracing and restoring him immediately. Trust me, all the landowners will be talking about this ridiculous and demeaning behavior at the first century equivalent of the Lions Club meeting. But this landowner doesn't care. He doesn't give a hoot what those guys are going to say about him. Because he's a parent before he's a landowner. So he doesn't count all the wrongs his son has done to him, but only tries to count his innumerable stars when his son comes back. And if that's not enough, he does something a landowner would never do. Never do. Yet again, a second time, when he goes out to speak to his elder son, he doesn't call his son inside. He doesn't send a message by a servant. He goes out to his son to plead with his son to come into the party. What should have been a command performance. In other words, turns out to be an embarrassing occasion where the landowner must beg his son to obedience. And all those who see him as no self-respecting landowner will be talking about this little thing as well. But he doesn't care. He does not care, because before he's a respectable landowner, he's a parent who loves both of his children more than anyone could possibly measure. And you see, there it is. That's when the counting breaks down. When you love so much, there is no scale that is adequate. None. No scale to calculate your devotion. The elder son, he counts. You can hear it in his calculations. In everything he says, all these years. Do you hear the counting? You never. That's counting. This son of yours. But the landowner, the father, he doesn't count. He can't. Love like this cannot be measured. You know this. It cannot be measured. It cannot be tracked. It cannot be managed. And that's where the cross comes in. The cross shows us, each of us, just how far our prodigal God will go to tell us of God's immeasurable love. So here's the thing. God loves us fiercely, vulnerably, courageously, unendingly. Whether we've wasted opportunity after opportunity or have been quietly working away faithfully, wondering when we'll be noticed, God loves us. Whether we've welcomed others who are down and out, or have judged others for not measuring up, even then, still, God loves us. Or whether we think this news is the best news in the world, or barely noticed it at all, even then, God still loves us. Whether you're here this morning reluctantly or with joy, whether you've had a long relationship with God your whole life long or have just come to know God recently or aren't sure God really exists, even then, God loves you. God's love for you is immeasurable and unending. Amen?
Amen. Amen.